All right. I don't come to church just to preach to make a noise, you know, and I don't just get sermons from a book somewhere or off the internet. I preach to try to help people, and especially you, because you're the one sitting here listening to me. Now, I mean that. You know, I'm for you. And God put me here to help you. That's what I'm here for. That's what a minister is. He's a servant, and he's here to help you. And I hope you'll receive the message that way. It's just, you know, I look at our world around us. I look at our lives. I look at the way things are going. I look at the things that are facing us, and especially you who are younger, and these younger children and young people. And I think about what I can say to you, what I can show you out of the Word of God that will help you in the days to come in your life. And all I can say is, you know, the Lord help you if you don't listen and you don't receive it. Or if you block it through your own pride, selfishness, foolishness, whatever. Better receive it as it is. It's the Word of God, and it's meant to help you. And it always helps me. If it helps me, I'm sure that it can help you too. All right, Jeremiah chapter 3. Let's read verse 25. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covers us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Well, now that's a terrible situation to be in. But you got to be in that situation before there's any hope for you. If you're not right with God, if you are in a state of confusion, you got to come to that place right there. I mean, you understand what he's praying there? He said, we got nothing but confusion of face. Because, why? Because we've sinned against the Lord our God. We, not only us, but our fathers. And since our youth, that's all we've done. We've not obeyed God. We've been foolish. And this is what we got. Confusion. Confusion of face. You know what that means? That means you don't know what to do. You don't know what's right. You don't know how to discern. You don't know which way to go. You don't know what to do. Confusion. Now that's the result of sin. Sin brings confusion. And that's a clear thing all the way through the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, the Bible says this, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and as in all churches of the saints." That's the way the churches are supposed to look. There ain't supposed to be confusion there. It's supposed to be peace. And where envy and strife are, the Bible says there is confusion in every evil work. People lose their way. That's the thing about it is, you know, we lose people along the way. Some of the young ones, some of the weak ones, and some of the others also fall by the wayside in confusion because of the lack of peace in the church. There's some more scripture in Daniel chapter 9, verse 8. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. As at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries, whether thou hast driven them, because... Now this is Daniel in the captivity. See, Israel has been scattered to the wind. Everything they had has been burned to the ground. All the gold, anything that had worth anything, has been stripped off of everything and carried off. I mean, a bunch of them's dead. They're a long ways from home with absolutely no hope, no way of figuring out what to do and what's coming next. And that's what he said. We got confusion of face. Because of their trespass. That they have trespassed against thee. You don't think sinning against the Lord matters? You don't think there's going to be any consequences? Well, you're in for confusion That's what's in front of you. That's what's in your future. Confusion. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face. He says it again. To our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers. Because, he says this again, we have sinned against thee. So what is it that brings confusion? It's sinning against the Lord. All right, well, let me pray and then I'll try to run through this. Father, thank you for everybody's here this morning. Thank you for another opportunity to preach your word. Please help me to be able to help folks. I pray that you would use the words that are said to be an encouragement and a help and an admonition to do right and to avoid this terrible state that so many end up in. And as we've just read in the scriptures here, just a couple of verses about it. Please bless your word now to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now confusion is really it's disorder and it's disunity, as opposed to peace, which is order and unity. Peace is when things are in order and there is unity. Confusion is when there is no peace and there's disunity and disorder. Disorder. Everything's out of order. Nothing's like it's supposed to be. I hate that. If there's anything that my children have heard through the years, that's one of the things they've heard. You know, boy, I hate it. When things ain't where they're supposed to be, when things, you know, I just hate that. It's confusion. Causes trouble. Causes frustration. Causes strife. Causes hard feelings. Slows everything down. Stops any progress. Stops things from getting done. Because of confusion. Disorder. The dictionary says this. In a general sense, it's a mixture of several things promiscuously. That's the definition in that Webster's 1828 dictionary of confusion. The mixture of several things promiscuously. Hence, disorder. Irregularity. Unpredictability. You never know what's coming next. Don't you hate dealing with people like that? Situations like that? Don't you hate going to work where everything's in disarray and disorder? That's what I hear from people who work in places like factories and Walmart and stores and, you know, anywhere there's a job where there's disorder, that's where people are unhappy because it's frustrating to everybody. To the who's running the business, it's not doing what it's supposed to do. To the people who are working there because everybody's getting blame and blaming one another because things ain't working because of the confusion. Because of the unpredictability, the unfaithfulness to just stick to what's right, stick to what's supposed to be, do things the way they're supposed to be done, do them decently and in order. Things ought to stay the same. Yeah. I had a friend here a while back and he said his wife was bragging about him making coffee. Said she just loved the way he made coffee. And he said, here's my secret. Do it the same way every time. Simple little secret, ain't it? It means tumult, want of order in society, confusion. Now that's what Daniel was referring to. That's what Jeremiah was referring to in the scriptures we read here. Their society had been turned upside down by the confusion. A blending or confounding. It's indistinct combinations as opposed to distinctness or things being in particular order. It's a confusion of ideas. It's a shameful blending of natures. A shocking crime like in Leviticus 18:23 and in chapter 20 in verse 12. Now that's talking about some terrible things that people do. And this promiscuous word that he used to describe the word confusion, it means in a crowd or mass without order, with confused mixture, indiscriminately. When we say a person is promiscuous, we understand what that means, don't we? Here's what it means. It means without distinction of kind. So that word really means anything goes. Or basically, no standards, no rules. That's confusion. That's the way you define confusion. No standards, no rules, no guidelines. It's anything goes, and everybody does as they please. And what do you got when you got it that way? Is it liberty and justice for all? Nope, that's not what you got. You don't have freedom. You have confusion. And therefore, you have bondage. Confusion is a state of being lost and uncertain about things. You know anybody like that? You know, you got any neighbors like that? Got any kin folks like that? Do you see people sitting in church? You know people go to church and they're like that? Oh, I know lots of them. Lots of them. They don't know north from south. They have no idea what's coming next, where to go, what's going to happen to them, which way to turn. They continually make wrong choices and destructive choices in their life. And the farther they go, the more lost they become. Confused. The less they know what to do. You see, that's the way it works. People get married and they say, well, I'm not happy. I think we'll just get divorced and we'll find somebody else that I can be happy with. Does it really happen that way very often? I mean, what's the major way? Now, you can point out examples all you want to, but back up a little bit. Look at the whole. What's the prevailing way that turns out? Not happy. It's an elusive thing. When you're seeking happiness according to your selfish desires, it's elusive to you. And the farther you go, the farther it seems to get from you. It's confusion just descends over your mind and over your heart. And you just don't know what to do. You don't know what to think. I hear these people talking about how, you know, it's impossible for people to be happy. There's people that have that attitude. They've been through one or two or three marriages and they think, well, this is impossible. There ain't no such a thing. I've heard people say there's no such a thing as real love anymore. There's no such a thing as faithfulness anymore. There's no such a thing as a home the way it used to be. Well, yes, there is. You've just lost sight of it because of the confusion that you've wrought in your life by sinning against the Lord and having your own way. It's the result. It's a state of feeling certain about things that are not true and right. And it's also being wrong, but thinking you're right. In other words, deceived. Confusion is one of the attributes of it is you think you understand, but what you understand is wrong. Or you don't understand the things that are right. You're mixed up, confused. It's a mixture of things. It's the result. It's a result of undoing things that are fixed and established as truths and waymarks. Confusion happens to you when you start undoing the things that are fixed and fastened. Mm-hmm. You start just taking bolts and screws out at random out of your car or out of a machine. So, you know, the sawmill up there, Mike. If you pull a bolt out and say, throw it away. It don't matter. Pull another one out somewhere else and throw it away. What's going to happen? The whole thing's going to fly apart. Yeah. It matters. You can't. They're there to hold things in place. And they have a purpose. And the whole of it all depends on everything that's fastened, staying fastened. And so when we start untying the knots that have been tied for a long time. I'm talking about moral things. I'm talking about things that are sure, tried, and proven. Such as marriage, and the home, and church attendance, and the order of the church, and the order of the home. And our place in God's creation, whether we're male or female, a child, or an adult, or an elderly person, or a servant, or a master. Whether we, you know, when we get to where we just start throwing all that away, we got what we got now, see, in our country. Anarchy. You know, the authority is not respected in any place from the bottom on up. Nothing is respected. The young don't respect the elderly. Nobody respects any kind of authority in the home, in the school, in the government, the police on the highway. Nothing, do they?
Nope.
What do we got then? What is that? It's confusion. It's confusion. It's the result of removing the fasteners that are holding things together. It's mixing and blurring things together and removing the distinctions. Failing to make a difference where there's really a difference. Proclaiming things equal and the same when they're not equal and the same. God made us male and female. God made men different colors. God made us all different. And it's funny because I hear these worldly-minded people and they talk about diversity and how we ought to honor that and everything, but at the same time they want to destroy it and wipe it out. They don't even want there to be a distinction between the genders. But yet at the same time they fight for women's rights. And at the same time they'll fight for the rights of another race or another color of people. Well, I thought you wanted us to be equal. I thought you just wanted to erase all the distinctions. It's all confusion, see? That's why sinners oppose themselves. It's an attempt to make the consequences or rewards equal for everyone. I'm talking about confusion. Confusion is when people attempt to make the consequences equal for everyone. You know, now you can't have a contest. Because everybody has to win. Everybody has to have a trophy. Everybody has to get a prize. You can't, you know, nobody can be privileged based on their performance or anything else. Kind of like nonsense, ain't it? Wasn't that way when I was growing up? Wasn't that way when most of you were growing up? You played a game to win. And somebody won, and somebody lost. And if you lost, you just had to learn to live with it. It was an encouragement to do better next time, to strive. What do you think the effect of removing all the incentives is? What do you reckon the effect is? Nobody tries, and nobody cares. The idea is to win. To accomplish something. It's the result of crossing lines and doing things that cause uncertainty and the loss of innocence and virtue or reputation. Promiscuous. Remember that. That's how you define confusion. It's a promiscuous mixing of things that don't belong together. And you end up not knowing which way to go. This feeling of being utterly lost and unsure of everything is not what the sinner anticipates when he's entering into his sin. Same old trick the devil used in the garden. Your eyes will be opened and then you'll see. Oh, that ain't the way it turned out at all, is it? When they opened their eyes after their sin, what they saw was not what they thought they were going to see. It wasn't what they were anticipating. And it's still that way. A sinner entering into sin. When you start untying the knots and you say, I'm going to throw that away, that's old-fashioned, that's what all the old folks, old fogies believe, I don't need that. This is a new time, a new day. We're going to do it different and we can do it. It's the right thing to do. And you'll see. So you pull out the screws and the bolts and you untie the knots and throw away everything that's holding it all together and try it without it. And what happens? Yeah, confusion. You lose your way. You can't just say, I don't believe in north and south and east and west. I believe they're all the same. And then find your way around this planet. You can't do that. North, north. I don't care how much it offends you, how much you don't like it, how much you want to believe south is north. Go ahead. You're just going to be wandering around the rest of your life, not even knowing where you're at or how to get anywhere or where to go. There has to be some fixed things. There has to be a foundation to work from. There has to be some fixed points of reference that do not change. And that's what one of our responsibilities as God's people is in this day that we live in. Somebody better stick to the old way. Somebody better maintain those landmarks, those waymarks. Somebody better stick to the right way. Amen. Oh, you better think about it, all of you. All you young ones, you better think about it. Yet the whole world's telling you to do the opposite of what I'm saying to you here this morning. I mean, it's a new day, it's a new future, and all of this. And they want to paint it up bright for you. To go that way, in church, in worship, in government, in everything. Think about it. Even in marriage, they're trying to change all that up where you can just marry anything or anybody and it's meaningless. It all means the same. No, it doesn't. You can do whatever feels good to you. That's the way to live. That's the message of the world. And throw away all those restraints of the past. All those puritanical people that just were ignorant and didn't understand anything. Just don't pay any attention. Just throw that all away. You know that's the message. And I'm saying to you this morning, somebody better hold on to the ropes. Peace is the putting back together of the pieces and making one again. Peace is when things work in harmony and there's tranquility. That's a whole lot different than confusion. There's a common view and understanding that gives rest to the mind and order to the life. Did you ever think about when Nehemiah and Ezra came back and they rebuilt the wall and they rebuilt the temple? Boy, those people worked together, didn't they? Wasn't like it was before they left. Read in the first of Jeremiah, read in Isaiah, and you can see what the state of things was in Israel before they were carried off into captivity, and they wasn't getting along at all. No, sir. But boy, when they come back, there was a putting back together of order. There was somebody in charge. Nehemiah was in charge. God put him in charge. God sent him there. And he fulfilled his duty faithfully. And they built the wall. In spite of the opposition. In spite of the threats. In spite of everything that worked against them. They worked together. And built the wall. So that's what peace is. Peace has these effects on the society that we live in. Peace has the same effects on the individual. Your individual, personal, private life, peace will have this effect on you. Tranquility. Assurance. Rest for your soul instead of turmoil. Rest instead of anxiety. Everybody's got to have anxiety medicine now. Even the dogs. I've known several people that give anxiety medicine to their dogs. Something's out of order. Where there's that kind of stuff, there's confusion. If it's a country, if it's a personal life, if it's a church, if it's whatever, if it's that kind of, if that's one of the symptoms, that's one of the attributes, that's one of the consequences of confusion. Anxiety. Fear. Nervousness. Where does all that come from? Not knowing. Being confused. Unsure. No assurance. No security. Because you don't know. Knowledge brings assurance. And peace. Things in order. Peace can only come by returning to a foundation of fixed laws and facts of life. There can be no peace when everything is subject to the corrupt and selfish opinions of people who are ignorant of the truth. And ignorant of God. Our world's full of confusion. All areas of life in this world are operating in that realm of confusion. Not peace. Try to get a bill straightened out. Do some little old something wrong on your taxes that you're filling out right now. And see how easy it is to get that straightened out. Just try to accomplish anything in the world. Anything right now. There's so much confusion on every hand that you can't even fathom how messed up everything is. Dad stays in a mess all the time trying to order medicine and doctors and all of this. And everybody's that way. It's that way for everybody. And we got all this technology and computers and surveillance, and they know all about you. And you know, what was this deal? The other day, this guy that faked the attack and all that, boy, it didn't take them just 2 or 3 days, and they got more information on him than old Mueller or whatever they want to call him. He's been working for years digging in a pond trying to find all this information. Well, see, it's nonsense. People used to have a Miss Cride sitting back there, 95 years old. She remembers the world completely different than this. Pencil and paper, that's all anybody had. And you could get things done, couldn't you, Miss Christ? Things would happen. It wasn't all this confusion. You could order something and it would come. You could call somebody on the phone, well, even before they had phones. You could write a letter. I remember getting letters right down here. Didn't have no box number, no route number, no zip code, nothing. Just my name, Elsinore, Missouri. And it came to me. Now, you better not have nothing wrong with it. I worry sometimes I'll put a stamp on upside down because I can't tell. You know, I ought to have an arrow or something on it. But I think, I put it on there upside down. It probably won't get there. And if you put the stamp on right, and the Postal Service is a good example of what I'm talking about here. If you trust the Postal Service, you're putting your hope in a vain thing, let me tell you. You don't even begin to understand how much they're losing, and it doesn't ever get there. Or it gets there 3 or 4 weeks from the time you mail it. I don't trust them, not one bit, because they're unfaithful and undependable, and it's all because of confusion. Everything's in disarray. Everything's been mixed up and out of order. And so it don't work anymore. So our world's full of this confusion. And it's not the way things used to be. There used to be some order because there used to be some distinctions and understanding about life and love and husbands and wives and children and servants and masters and God-ordained authority. There used to be these pillars of society. You know, these are moral things. And morality has to do with society, see? If I was the only human on earth, it wouldn't matter what I did. Because it ain't going to hurt nobody and it ain't going to interfere with anybody else's rights. But I'm not the only person that lives on this earth, and neither are you. Therefore, there's moral law. And that's what it's all about. Is us trampling over one another and interfering with one another. And God's moral law set up these pillars of these things that I just mentioned here. And these are just some of them, but, you know, life and understanding, there's distinctions. God set up everything in order. Husband, wife, not husband and husband. And one of them pretending to be the wife. Right. Or two women and one of them pretending to be the husband. Why they got to do that? I mean, if they're really gay, why don't they just be two women instead of one of them's got to be, take the male part. Did you ever notice that? And then, you know, we're talking about confusion. So, you know, Sonny and Cher had a little girl. Remember, I used to see her on TV when I... Well, now that little girl has become a man. Not really, but she's pretending to be a man. And she was gay, so she was living with her lesbian partner, but now she's pretending to be a man. And they were still living together, so what was that? Is that a normal couple, or are they still gay, or what's the deal? What does that sound like? Confusion. Absolutely. Confusion. When you read about confusion in the Bible, in the Old Testament, you'll find that the biggest part of the references to that word have to do with that kind of immorality. Yes. It's a matter of promiscuousness between the genders. That's confusion. He wrought confusion in Israel. Can't do that. That's confusion. Don't do this. That's confusion. Adultery is confusion. It brings confusion. Can you understand? It's a very simple matter. Who's the kids belong to? Mm-hmm. What we were talking about back here yesterday, we had a little discussion about some things. And you know, you never know who's a little community like we live in around here. Everybody's kin to everybody, much more than you think. If you knew all the truth, you wouldn't know what to do because of all the confusion. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me hurry up here. There used to be authority and people regarded it and honored it, or they paid a heavy price. Now we have a world full of anarchy and tyranny, and that's because of confusion. Anarchy is lawlessness, which is confusion. And it leads directly, listen to me, it leads directly and invariably to tyranny, which is absolute monarchy cruelly administered. Confusion brings anarchy. Anarchy ends in tyranny. Absolutely. No exceptions. There's no way to avoid it. That's where we're headed. Prepare yourselves. If Jesus doesn't come and call His church out of here, that's what we're going to experience. We're in the anarchy stage now. We're fixing to face tyranny because that's the only answer to anarchy. Somebody has to take charge or they'll destroy themselves. And it leaves an opening. It leaves a vacancy for somebody to do that. When there's lawlessness and no accountability to anybody, the strong man is going to take over. That's the way it works in this world. Evolutionists believe that. Survival of the fittest. The strongest, the smartest, the best. They're the ones that come out on top. They'll be fine with it. Then, our generation is set by and watched as the foundations of society have been attacked and bulldozed away one by one. Satan is a master strategist. And from where we're sitting right now in 2019, we can see his plan and how he has worked it so very well. If you just think, read, study history, if you got even a vague outline of history of the last 100 years, you can go 100 years, then you can see what he's done to us. This is 2019. It was 100 years ago this year that women got the right to vote, right? I believe that's right. Also in 1919, I believe, is when abolition took place. So, boy, we've come a long way, haven't we? The feminists were the first vanguard of Satan's army that he sent to destroy and bring confusion and finally complete destruction to the human race. That's his goal. But he attacked the weakest point as far as mankind is concerned, just like he did in the beginning in the garden. Men have a harder time standing against ungodliness in women than they have anywhere else. And that's a fact. And this is where the devil always initiates his plans for their demise. Now, this is the way it is, and this is the way it works. Men who are honorable and righteous and just are concerned that women be treated right and fairly. And more than that, they're concerned that they be set in a special place and that they be treated special and honored. Not just treated like, they're just somebody. No, that's the men who are really right and who really love, who are not just living after their carnal flesh like base, lewd fellows, they don't treat women that way. And so it's very easy when they're attacked by ungodly women with a different motive than what they're saying for them to yield and give the women what they want and yield ground that rightfully belongs to them by God and give it up to them. I You know, well, let me just stick with it here. I got something else I want to say along that line, but we'll get to that in a minute. The rallying cry of the early feminists was that women were treated unjustly and that all they wanted was equal rights. They started with a demand to vote so they could vote against the men, including their husbands. Now, you know what I've said about that. If a man and a woman are married and they're one, then they ought to be one, don't you think? So what was the deal about that? So that they could oppose and cancel their husband's vote, their husband's influence. Amen. It's the only way it works. Can't wear it me no other way. If we go to vote and I vote one way and my wife votes the other, we might as well stay home. We don't count. We have no say-so in society and the laws that are made and the way that this country is going, because ain't no point in it. So they started with that. Then they accomplished that goal. When they accomplished that goal, the feminist view then became a part of public policy and foreign policy, and therefore changed the direction of everything and the way we defend ourselves and run our country. But the feminists didn't stop when they got the right to vote, did they? Did they? I thought that's what they wanted, but that's all they wanted. But that ain't what they wanted. That ain't all they wanted. They didn't stop there. They didn't stop when, they got the right to vote. They didn't stop when they got laws passed to guarantee them equal rights. They didn't stop when laws were passed to give them preference for jobs over men. They didn't stop there. And 100 other things that give them the upper hand in all areas of life. Now, the radical feminists are openly advocating the annihilation of manhood and masculinity, and they make it a shameful and a stupid thing in a man, while at the same time they honor the same character traits in a woman as her sign of being empowered. Confusion. They don't even... There's some of them that are so radical that they're advocating the murder of all men. Colleges are offering courses on toxic masculinity and trying to eradicate manhood from the earth. Well, they ought to, hey, if we're going to be equal, they ought to teach classes on toxic feminism then. I watched Kamala Harris yesterday. While she interrogated this guy that was going to be the CIA director. And she demanded of him that he promise her that he would not allow his views, because he was a conservative and he didn't believe in abortion and he didn't believe in, he was against homosexuality because that isn't clear. What he was for was a traditional marriage and home. She said that. She said, I understand that your views on marriage is that you're for traditional family and husband and wife and home. She said, I don't agree with you on that. And then she made him promise that if she let him have the job, that he would not make any decisions based on his personal or be influenced by his personal views at all. And of course, the spineless man, male, sat there and, well, yes, ma'am. I would never do that. No, I would never get the job, but I would say, well, you mean you don't want me to be influenced by my opinions like Comey was and like Hillary was? You mean like that? I would say, well, if you'll promise me the same thing about your job as a senator, if you won't let your private views influence your decisions and votes, then I won't either. How about that? I'd say, how come it is that I can have my personal views, but they're only to myself and they have no place in the public work? You get elected and you can make your choices and you can make your votes completely based on your views and your opinions and your convictions, but if I get a job in the government, I have to promise you that I will make all my decisions according to your views and not mine. That's where we're at. Woman, this smirking and, you know, smiling while she wallers him around in front of the whole world. And the man ain't got enough backbone to even... He wants the job so bad, I guess. Confusion. Where do you think we're going to go with that? Don't y'all see that, you know, you can believe whatever you want, just keep it to yourself. We're running this thing. The only people who've got a right to be on the Supreme Court are the ones who believe in abortion. You have to promise that you won't vote against abortion. You won't vote against sodomites. You won't vote against anything that they're for, or they won't let you have that. Since when did that become the litmus test for everything? Since when did they become the rulers of this country? When they don't even win the elections, but they still rule. Well, the order got broke down way back here, so I'm telling you. Feminism. She's a woman. Can't talk to a woman like that. You can't exercise authority over her. You can't correct her. You can't tell her no. You can't tell her no. You must let her call the shots and you must obey her. Well, there are radical feminists who want all men to be done away with. They started by simply wanting to be treated fairly. But in the end, the goal is completely to oppress and destroy the distinction God put between male and female and the roles God designed for each one. The feminist movement was designed by the devil, I guarantee you that, to destroy the foundation, which is the fact that in the beginning God created them male and female. So now we have total confusion concerning the sexes. Men who think they're women. And women who think they're men. And people pretending or raising children to be genderless. And we have every sexual perversion that can be imagined and some that can't. Total confusion. And out of the confusion caused by the feminist movement, the homosexual movement was birthed. And they started the same way. The feminists did. They just simply demanded the right to be free to do what they wanted to do in private. So they got that. So we can see now that their goal was way more than that. We now see that they're not satisfied with being free to practice their deeds alone and in private. They intend to force us all to bless them and to participate with them just like they did in Sodom long, long ago. We're at Lot's door. That's where we're at right now. In the timeline of events, we're at Lot's door. They have went so far as to undo the difference between male and female. A physical fact of nature. And they've turned it into a feeling of a perverted, confused mind that trumps physical facts. Now, if that ain't confusion, what is? And then you got the civil rights movement. They started out by demanding the same thing. Equal rights and fair treatment. Well, what just person would be against that? Who would want to treat somebody bad just because they're a different color? Just because they're a different color. That doesn't mean anything to me. I'll tell you what means something to me. Your virtue, your righteousness. I mean, here's simply put, if you're a wicked, sorry person, I'm against you. Yes, sir. I'm going to fight you getting in control and running my children, my grandchildren. I'm going to be against you. Now, I'll tell you about the Lord and how He can save you, but I'm going to oppose you in your efforts to take over and rule over me and my family. That's right. And it don't matter what color you are. I've known black people that I loved. And there's a lot of people that are black that are good people. And there's a lot of white people that are sorry, worthless, wicked people. And I feel toward them the same way I do towards somebody who's wicked if they're black. The color doesn't matter. Right and wrong is what matters. But they started out that way, demanding equal treatment. Well, let me tell you something. The last 8-10 years here has set us way back on this race issue. And we all, anybody that's got any sense knows who is responsible for that. They start the same way. We now see that the goal is much more than that now. They're not satisfied with that, with being free to, you know, they're wanting more than that. Is it really just equal rights they want now? All of these Democrat women who are running for president now, they're touting reparations to the black people. Well, now there's not a black person alive in this country that was a slave in this country in the 1800s or before. So they don't, you know, that's nonsense. Is it really just equal rights? No, no. The churches, let me hurry up here. The churches are full of confusion. The ancient landmarks have been removed. And there's hardly anything left of true Bible-believing Christianity in this world. Most churches are a variety of modern versions. They use a variety of modern versions of the Bible, which are not the Word of God at all. Can't bring nothing but confusion. You can argue all day long about verses left out and words that were changed and all, and the root of, you know, the line of scriptures they came from and all of that. And all of that's worth studying and understanding. But the basic thing is, if we come in here and we got four or five different versions of the Bible here, it's confusion. You can't follow along. You can't memorize. You can't recognize. I mean, that's good enough reason alone right there. To say, nah, that's confusion. Because in the church, everything's supposed to be done decently and in order. And as we read the verse that we started out, as in the churches, that they're the example of unity and peace and no confusion. Most churches do that. All moral law has pretty much been thrown aside and everything is now determined by love. But it's not the love described in the Bible. It's more like the free love of the hippies, which pretty much anything goes. Remember what we said in the beginning? What is this thing about promiscuous and confusion? No rules. Anything goes. That's the kind of love that is behind this modern worship movement and everything. Anything goes. Anything goes. Love covers it all. Churches have lost their purpose and direction and have become centers of entertainment and feasting and or dating services. Or places where a lot of immorality goes on. Individual lives are full of confusion. I'm trying to help you this morning because you may be here and you may be confused too. There's a certain amount of it in everybody. You're overwhelmed and overcharged by this world and all you see and all you hear and all of the false. We talk about fake news, but there's so much fake, so much false, so much misinformation that we're all subjected to every day. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-disturbing. It's not conducive to peace and security and unity. And lack of confusion. It doesn't help us with that. It helps us to be confused. Most people have no foundation in their life at all. And so they're asking what is right. You know, they're doing what is right in their own eyes. Because they don't have any direction. They don't know how to discern their way. Because they're confused. They've been taught to follow their heart. And that's exactly what they're doing. Instead of following the Word of God. There's a famine in the land. There sure is. It's of the knowledge of the Word of God. And it doesn't matter what kind of church you're in. It'd be shameful if everybody here knew, right here in our little crowd this morning, it'd be shameful if everybody knew how little everybody else read the Bible this week or studied or thought on it. Recipe for confusion. If you ain't going to follow the Word of God, if you ain't going to get your directions from there, if you ain't going to check that compass every day, you're going to end up lost and confused. It's like quicksand. And these lives of confusion only self-destruct and leave a wide swath of destruction in their wake. Peace can only be found by putting things in order again and finding a solid foundation to stand and build upon. A And that can only be found in Jesus Christ. And He can only be found by what's revealed about Him in His Word. And Jesus said, we quote this verse so often, but in John chapter 8, verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Only living your life according to facts and not fantasy will keep you from confusion of faith. Y'all hear me? You got to live your life by facts, not fantasy. Not what you want to be, desire to be, want to have, desire to have. What you imagine. No, no. You better base it upon facts.
Amen.
Jesus loves me, this I know. Well, for the Bible tells me so. You better walk with God.
Amen.
If you feel confused and aren't sure of the way, seek the truth. And you'll be able to get your bearings back. And walk with assurance and confidence instead of fear and anxiety. Don't let people confuse you. They'll do it. But we're surrounded by so much insanity that it really is hard for us to deal with. It's hard for me to deal with it. I spend a lot of time thinking, why in the world? Why in the world do people act like that? Why would they do that? Why would they say that? Why would they think like that? Well, you know, I'll be just like the squirrel in the cage till the day I die if I sit around doing that. No, I'll understand people better when I understand God better. When I look to God and I study His Word. And He tells us all the way through here about people and about Himself. He tells us about what sin does to people. And all of this confusion, every verse we read, what was it brought on by? Sin. Disobeying God's commandments, not even understanding. We've been reading in the Leviticus and the law, the sacrifices and everything. And you know, I've read through there before a bunch of times. And it's all, you know how it is. It's just so repetitive and there's so many details and yet there's a pattern there. I've been kind of feeling, I don't know, convicted or shame to myself, because I told her, I said, "Oh, there's just got to be so much more here than what we're getting. There's just got to be. I want to study it. I want to find out what's there, because there's more there than what I know." And here I am, 40-some years into this thing, and I still don't understand this completely. I'm just saying, you know, that's how you find your way. More about Jesus, would I know? Y'all young people, man, get in the Word of God. Learn it, know it. Pattern your life after what God has showed us here. Keep things in order. Don't allow confusion to overwhelm your mind and your life and your heart. Don't be wondering and don't be dreaming and don't be imagining out there in la-la land. Just stick to the truth. Just rejoice in the truth. It says in Sunday school there about reading the Word of God and just being so thrilled with it. Well, it's the truth. Charity rejoiceth in the truth. If you're a child of God, that's good enough for you. I mean, you just read the truth and it just thrills your soul. It's just like a balm to your soul. You know what it does? It brings you peace in your soul. You just feel at ease. Does it answer all of your questions? No. Don't answer all the questions that you might have. But if you focus on the questions, you're going to become confused. Better focus on the truth. There's more truth than you'll be able to get in a long, long life here on earth. So start getting it. Settle down on it. Meditate on it. Day and night. Keep it ever before your eyes. And you won't be confused. You'll be living in this time when the whole world's in turmoil. And you can have peace in your heart. You can be like the children of Israel in Egypt when it was dark. So dark it could be felt. They had light in their dwellings. It can be that way in your soul. In times like these, I'm telling you, it can. Yes, sir. All right, well, let's stand.
Amen.
Remember this. Remember this. Remember at the beginning I told you, I just want to help you. I want to help you to be stable. I want to help you to be have your eyes single and not be double-minded and unstable and shiftless and changeable and able to be blown over real easy. Get your roots down. Get your anchor down in the truth. You know, we're missing backbone. That's what we're missing. Now, I'm not talking about just stubbornness like a mule. I'm talking about knowing the truth and being made free, buying the truth, selling it not, standing for God. I mean, that's what he said. Having done all, stand. Don't back up. Make up your mind about the truth. And regardless of the cost, stand on it. That's what we're missing. People won't do that because they never get grounded enough in the truth. They just get a little taste of it. They just brush up against it. But the wind blows and they're gone. Too many influences around them. Care too much about the people around them and what they think and say. Amen. Well, bow with me. We'll have a word of prayer. Father, I pray you bless your word to our hearts now. I pray everybody here would be helped from this. Pray you would help us to carry it with us. And Lord, I know this is a major problem in people's lives. I see it everywhere. I turn and have to deal with it. And sometimes it's very unpleasant and despairing dealing with people that are so confused that they don't know which way to turn. And I know why they're there. And I know what put them there. And all I can do is what I've done here this morning. Is just encourage everybody and point them in the right direction. And say, there, go that way. Go that way. Do this. That's how you get away from that. And find your way. Please help these young people and these kids. Please, Lord, watch over them as they grow up. As they have to navigate through this wicked world and this life. Please help them to stay fast about you. Help us, Lord, to be there as a help and encouragement and for them. And, Lord, help us to walk the narrow way also and do what's right. Be circumspect in our conversation, in the words we say and everything. Thank you for working in my heart and helping me with some things and correcting me and rebuking me about some things. Lord, go with us now as we leave this place. Pray you bless the Lord's day now. And we'd all remember you in Jesus' name. Amen.